Welcome to A Time of Hope with highlights of last Sunday's worship service. I'm Russell Cobb, the pastor at the United Church of Christ of California and the Salem United Church of Christ. Due to the new guidance from the state and federal governments, we will only have online worship services through the month of April. You can watch our regular Sunday worship service at our website, www.calmo-ucc.org. Scroll down and click on Online Worship Services. You can either watch the service live at 10:30 on Sunday or watch it at another time. You can also watch a live stream of our 7 o'clock Maundy-Thursday service this Thursday at 7 o'clock. We'll have individual communion packets ready for pickup in the parking lot this Wednesday from 3 to 7 for both our Maundy-Thursday and Easter services. We continue our sermon series, Great Expectations, that is looking at the parables of Jesus as we head towards Easter. This morning we will be in Matthew chapter 13, verses 24 to 30, in verses 36 to 43, to look at the parable of the weeds. This is a difficult parable and one I really didn't want to preach, but I think it applies to what we are going through right now. Why does God allow evil and suffering? This parable gives us a little insight to Jesus' view of this topic. Please join us today at 10:30 to watch a live stream or a Sunday worship service, and we'll try to address the idea of evil and suffering in the world. As one of our members said when we decided to cancel services a few weeks ago, the doors of the church may be closed, but our hearts are still open. May God bless you this week with His peace, His power, and His faith. As Psalm 121, verses 1 and 2 says, I lift up my eyes to the mountains. Where does my help come from? My help comes from the Lord, the maker of heaven and earth. Thank you for listening.
Friends, we are gathered to give thanks for all we have received from God's good hands. God's holy name. To acknowledge and confess our sins.
To hear God's holy word. And to ask those things evil for life.
Let us draw near to God in all humility and celebrate God's infinite goodness and mercy.
Our scripture is read by Carla Clennon.
Our first lesson today is from Matthew chapter 9, verses 35 through 38. As Jesus went all about the cities and villages, teaching in their synagogues and preaching the gospel of the kingdom, and healing every disease and infirmity. When he had saw the crowds, he had compassion for them, because they were harassed and helpless, like sheep without a shepherd. Then he said to his disciples, "The harvest is plentiful, but the laborers are few. Pray therefore the Lord of your harvest, and send out the laborers into your harvest." Here ends our first reading. Our second reading is from 1 Corinthians 1, verses 18 through 25. For the word of the cross and the follies for those who are perishing, but to us who are being saved, is to the power of God. For it is written, I will destroy the wisdom of the wise, and the cleverness of the clever I will thwart. Where is the wise man? Where is the scribe? Where is the debater of this age? Has not God made foolish of the wisdom of the world? For since he is the wisdom of God, the world did not know God through wisdom. It pleased God through the follies of that what he preached to save those who believe. For Jews demand signs and Greeks for wisdom, but we preach Christ, crucified in stumbling blocks of Jews and follies to the Gentiles. But to those who are called, both Jews and Greeks, Christ is the power of God and the wisdom of God. For the foolish of God is wiser than men, and the weakness of God is stronger than men. Here ends our scripture's readings.
Reverend Cobb's sermon continues his series on the parable.
We're going to be in Matthew chapter 13 this morning as we continue our look at the parables of Jesus. I want to say again, good morning to everybody online. I want to also give out a special greeting to all of our residents in the nursing homes that are watching this on DVD at a later date, as well as some of the people that we've dropped DVDs off to. We want to welcome you to our worship, and we're thankful that we can do that. One of the things in this whole crisis that has shown us is that the church is not just a building. It's a family that can worship in various ways. I miss seeing everyone, of course, just like you do. And I encourage all of you to reach out to your fellow members to check on each other and encourage each other. We're going to continue our Great Expectation sermon series that we've been looking at the parables as we get closer to Easter. Jesus told these stories, these parables, to address the expectations that people had about him. In fact, this is one of the very first parables that Jesus talks about. And it's one of the few that he gives an explanation to later, which is helpful to them. This morning, we're going to be in Matthew chapter 13, if you want to turn there. The parable of the sower, or the parable of the soils, depends on your perspective, which way you want to look at it. We'll touch a little bit on both. This parable is also in Mark chapter 4 and Luke chapter 8, and I encourage you to read those three chapters this week to get an idea, just a little nuances from each one, but they're basically the same. I love this parable. I can identify a little bit with this one because I love the plant things. I've talked about all the trees, the bushes, the bulbs, the plants, and the flowers, and the gardens that we planted at our house in Hallsville, and how Betty banned me eventually from planting anything else around there because I had planted way so much. But this parable will be also very familiar to many of you in our audience this morning because we live in an agricultural community. You all understand better than I do everything it takes to get ready and plant a crop. I've tried to learn as much as I can about planting and farming. I married into a farming family, and I've had many conversations with my father-in-law, Charles, about farming, as well as my brother-in-laws and what it takes and all the work that needs to be done to get the soil just right to be the most productive for their harvest season. I've also visited with many of you to learn as much as I can. You all understand soils. Not all soils are the same. Not every seed that you plant produces. There could be several reasons for this. At the end of chapter 12 of Matthew, we see Jesus is teaching in a house, and his brothers and his sisters and his mother come to interrupt him, and he tells them, you know, hey, I'm going about my business right here. I'm teaching God's word, because there's a great crowd that has followed him. It says that he gets up and he leaves the house and he walks out, and there's such a great crowd that's following him. He goes to the Sea of Galilee, to the lake there, and he gets on a boat so then he can address the whole crowd. In fact, in chapter 13, he gives seven different parables, seven different ones. Many of them deal with agricultural ideas. He uses the familiar to get across the truths of God. My daughters are probably my most critical, my largest critics about my preaching. They say, Dad, all you say, all you talk about is stories. You just tell stories the whole time. I say, I'm just following Jesus' model right there because he told stories all the time. He used familiar experiences to get across the truths of God. In fact, Jesus says this seed in this parable is the word of God. The seed the sower is planting is God's word. The first chapter of the Gospel of John says this about the word. It says, in the beginning was the word was with God, and the word was God. We get the idea from here that we're all supposed to be sowers as well as soils. There's a couple ways to go about this parable. We could concentrate on the sower and not get discouraged about some of the seed not being productive. I hate it when every seed that I plant doesn't come up. I've been known to go back out into the garden and put individual seeds back into the places where the seeds did not come. I get angry at those seeds. But we see here that seed is God's word and that soil are the people. But we also see that not everyone responds to the message of the word. It's discouraging when family members or friends don't respond to the message of the gospel or once were productive in their faith but now don't want to have too much to do with the church or God. But we got to be encouraged not to give up our planting. Last year when I planted, made my first attempt at our garden, it got washed away. Only a few things came up. It was the sorriest looking garden, I think, in California. I could have quit after my garden after that all happened. But no, I planted again, had success, and I will plant again this spring. Us as the church and the members of the church must continue to be sowers of God's word. All of us are, you know, to be sowers. And we'll talk more in depth about that another time, about the need for that. But this morning we're going to concentrate on the soils of our heart. We've seen it various times when Jesus had large groups following him. He didn't see that as necessarily a good thing. He just addressed this in the parable of the uncompleted tower and the king's going to war. He gave them a large dose of truth about what it means to follow Jesus. He said, if you're going to follow me, this isn't just going to be one big traveling show. You've got to love me more than anything else. You've got to submit to me, even carry your cross just like I've carried my cross. And you've got to be willing to give up everything to be his disciple. Well, I bet you that thinned the crowd out a little bit that day, don't you think? We see it also in John chapter 6. Great crowds were following him. Everybody was, you know, coming after him, and he gave that message about, you know, drinking his blood and eating his body. And I bet you the crowd thinned out a little bit after that one. And of course it did. All that was left was his disciples, but they knew that he was the only one that had the words of eternal life. But this morning, we're going to concentrate on how to become the most productive soil God wants us to be. You know, I've always looked at this parable and thought there was only four soils. There were actually six soils. We have the hard soil, we have the rocky soil, we have the weedy soil, and then we have the three types of good soil that produce at all different levels of production. Why are some soils unproductive while others are productive? Well, let's read Matthew chapter 13, verses 1 through 23. Follow along at home. It said, that same day Jesus went out of the house and sat by the lake. Such large crowds gathered around him that he got into a boat and sat in it, while all the people stood on the shore. Then he told them many things in parables, saying, a farmer went out to sow his seed. As he was scattering the seed, some fell along the path, and the birds came and ate it up. Some fell on the rocky places where it did not have much soil. It sprang up quickly because the soil was shallow. But when the sun came up, the plants were scorched, and they withered because they had no root. Other seed fell among the thorns, which grew up and choked the plants. Still other seed fell on good soil where it produced a crop, 100, 60, or 30 times what was sown. Whoever has ears, let them hear. Disciples came to him and asked, why do you speak to the people in parables? He replied, because the knowledge of the secrets of the kingdom of heaven has been given to you, but not to them. Whoever has will be given more, and they will have it in abundance. Whoever does not have, even what they have will be taken away from them. This is why I speak to them in parables. Though seeing, they do not see. Though hearing, they do not hear or understand. In them is fulfilled the prophecy of Isaiah. You will ever be hearing, but never understanding. You will ever be seeing, but never perceiving. For this people's heart has become calloused. They hardly hear with their ears, and they have closed their eyes. Otherwise, they might see with their eyes and hear with their ears, understand with their hearts, and turn, and I would heal them. But blessed are your eyes, because they see, and your ears, because they hear. For truly I tell you, many prophets and righteous people long to see what you did, but did not see it, and to hear what you hear, but did not hear it. Listen then what the parable of the sower means. When anyone hears the message about the kingdom and does not understand it, the evil one comes and snatches away what has sown in their hearts. This is the seed sown along the path. The seed falling on the rocky ground refers to someone who hears the word and at once receives it with joy. But since they have no root, they last only a short time. When trouble or persecution comes because of the word, they quickly fall away. The seed falling among the thorns refers to someone who hears the word, but the worries of this life and the deceitfulness of wealth choke the word, making it unfruitful. But the seed falling on the good soil refers to someone who hears the word and understands. This is the one who produces a crop, yielding 100, 60, or 30 times what was sown. We see three different types of soil that were not receptive to the word overall. The first soil is that one along the path, and it talks about that he's going along in these paths that they would walk on. And you've seen them as you've driven your equipment back and forth between the fields. You harden the soil that you ride on. But sometimes the seed falls a little bit onto that soil, but it doesn't penetrate the soil, because that ground was not ready for the soil. The seed could not penetrate. It lies exposed and susceptible to the danger around it. See, Satan doesn't want people to hear God's word and understand it, because his word, or God's word, is power that brings salvation to everyone who believes. Romans 1 tells us that. But you've seen those fields that you walk back and forth on, you drive back and forth on. Seed can't penetrate it. It can't take root. It's left exposed to the elements. Birds come in and scoop it up before it can take root. I've had some of my farmers, I love the turkey, but sometimes they get a little disgusted with the turkeys, because they will plant a brand new field and turkeys will come in right after it's planted and pick some of the seed out of the ground. Jesus knew who he had in the crowd. He had all types of different soils. In Luke, it shows some of the people in the crowd with him, some of his followers, his disciples, some of the ladies that followed him. But I'm sure there were some Pharisees that were following him also. They had heard about the miracles. They had probably even seen some of the miracles. But their heart was so hard, the soil of their heart was so hard that the seed couldn't penetrate it. Time after time, someone maybe would scatter some seed close to them, but they would not take advantage of it. Maybe it's like us. Sermons have been preached. Easter and Christmas Eve services have been attended. We've attended funerals and weddings. The seed is cast out, but those hearts have been hardened maybe by sin, or maybe they've been hardened by hurt, maybe bad examples at the church, or bad experiences with religion. But see, the sower keeps casting seeds, but those hearts are not properly prepared for the seed to come in. The soil has not been disked up. It's not been tilled up. It's not been broken up. They don't want to hear God's word in their lives. The door is closed until something can break through the hard hearts or the hard soil that's there. Even says that sometimes that seed gets crushed and it's trampled on and it can't take root. That's the danger of having hard soil for heart. The second one that we see there is the soil in the rocky places. There's a thin layer of soil. It takes root. They receive it with great joy. But then when the heat of the sun comes, and it always does come, when the persecution of life comes, it starts to wilt away. We planted a hydrangea bush in the front of our house where we lived at in Hallsville, and the soil is not very good soil. They had other bushes planted there. They had put that thin white rock out there. We scraped up. The girls can tell horror stories about us trying to, you know, make them go outside and work and dig up all those rocks and get rid of them so the soil would be good. But we planted that hydrangea bush there because I wanted to see it every day. But when the heat of the summer would come up, if I didn't water that plant every day, when I came home, it looked like it just wilted and died because it could not get a deep root system in there. It says there, when trouble or persecution becomes because of the word, testing comes. And a lot of times it comes unexpectedly. How deep are your spiritual roots? Have you placed your faith in the right soil? It's been 24 years since my grandpa Ed passed away, and one of the things that was passed on to me was a plant that they gave us. It's grown into a pretty tall tree now, but it's just got a small base to it, and I have to water that thing continually. I just remembered yesterday to do it because we keep it downstairs with a little bit of light. It has no way to get a deep root system to it. It's totally dependent upon me. This rocky soil is that soil that never develops the roots, the deep spiritual roots needed for the time of testing. And finally, we have soil that seems to be good soil. It grows, it gets stronger, but then they don't give proper attention to the soil. We have this soil that's with thorns and weeds. It says that seed that fell among the thorns stands for those who hear. But as they go on their way, they are choked by life's worries, by the riches and pleasures, and they do not mature, it says in Luke chapter 8. It says, but the worries of life, the deceitfulness of wealth, and the desires for other things come in and choke the word, making it unfruitful, it says in Mark chapter 4. They had good soil. The seed sprouted up. It looks like it grows, but then they don't pay attention to their soil. They let things start to grow up. They let things start to take away from the nutrients of the plant that's supposed to be the one that's the most valuable. It mentions the worries of life and the deceitfulness of wealth. It also mentions the desires for other things. That little phrase has caused so much spiritual damage in our lives. What other things are choking out God's word in your heart? What other things have you let creep in and start to grow that you don't need to have pulled and taken out so your faith can grow to its total maximum possibility? We see Judas Iscariot was one of those. He traveled right with Jesus all those years, but he had a love of wealth, a love of approval, a love of acceptance, and it choked out his love for Jesus and the message of love and service. Paul said it this way in 1 Timothy chapter 6, "For the love of money is a root of all kinds of evil. Some people eager for money have wandered from the faith and pierced themselves with many griefs." See, weeds and thorns are easier to address when they're smaller. When you let them grow to any height, it's hard to get them all out and the root to come out with them. See, the roots are not that deep. But when they get big, it takes necessary nutrients from the main plant. It overshadows them. It takes away their sun. I transplanted some iris bulbs from last year, from this year to our place from where we lived at. And I noticed over last year that we have these yucca plants in that area, and they had grown and expanded, and they were overshadowing my iris plants, which I really want to grow. And so this week I dug up some of them. If anybody wants some extra yucca plants, I have some. You can pick them up at my house for free because they were taken away from the beautiful plant that I wanted to grow and experience and grow to its full fruition. But we look here. What's the most important type of soil? What's the best soil? What makes it the most productive? Jesus has already told us. Soil that's not hard, soil that's not rocky, soil that doesn't have weeds or thorns in them. It's soil that's broken up. David told us that in the Psalms. What does God want? He wants a broken and contrite heart. That's how seed penetrates. That's how the word of the gospel penetrates in the soil of our hearts and makes us productive. He also tells us there that in Luke that we're to have a noble and good heart, that we are to hear it and accept it, retain it, persevere, and produce. And the first thing that we have to do is we have to listen. We have to hear. When you read through Matthew 13 there, he starts off every verse about it's the one who hears. Look again at verses 16 and 17. He says, blessed are your eyes because they see and your ears because they hear. Mark starts off the very first, he says, listen. He says, pay attention to this. I was wondering if there were people in the crowd talking and whispering to each other. And Jesus said, hey, be quiet, listen to this one. In fact, in the Gospel Mark's account, it says that Jesus got a little frustrated with his disciples because this was the first parable he told them, and they said, we don't understand it. Could you explain this one to us? And he said, if you don't get this one, how in the world are you going to get the rest of them? But he starts off there. He says, we've got to listen. We've got to put ourselves in a place to hear God's word repeatedly and let it soak into our heart. But you know, it's hard to understand God's word or grasp it at once. It's just like learning or studying. We all do it in different ways. When I study or read, I need noise in the background. I need the TV on, I need the radio on, I need some type of noise. I've been that way all my life. My wife is the exact opposite. She needs it completely quiet. So we didn't study much together in college, did we? It didn't work out very well when we had studied together. So she would study in complete quiet. I would study along with Magnum PI on in the background so I could have some noise that was going on. But there's different ways to hear God's word. This morning you're hearing it through your internet, through your computer. We can get it through our phone, our radio, through our Sunday school. The key is to make sure you're listening and grasping. It says that they not only heard it, they retained it. Mark says that word and Matthew says it repeatedly. Hear and receive. But see, just hearing isn't enough. We see the second way. We need to see it. He says you've got to look at it with your eyes. You've got to perceive it. Job said it this way. My ears had heard you, but now my eyes have seen you. Maybe you've seen your faith in your parents and your grandparents. You see that it's real, that there's a basis, that there's deep spiritual roots. You've seen godly examples of faith in this church. You've seen God at work in your life. You've heard about it in Sunday school and VBS, but you saw him at work in your job and with your family and with this crisis that's going on right now. You know that God is real because you've seen it happen. The third thing that we see there is that we only not have to hear it and see it, but we've got to taste it. We've got to take it internally. That's why I love Psalm 34, verse 8. It says, taste and see that the Lord is good. You know, we can stand from, we could hear it. That's the word, you know, on the hard soul. They heard it, but it didn't penetrate into them. John 6 said the same thing. You've got to take me internally. It's got to become part of your life. And that when we hear the message or we see the message, that's where the power comes from. It says, consequently, faith comes from hearing the message, and the message is heard through the word of Christ. Hearing, seeing, tasting. And then we've got to use our other sense of smell. It says, for we are to God the aroma of Christ among those who are being saved. To one we are the smell of death, to the other the fragrance of life. That's what Paul said in 2 Corinthians chapter 2. He said that you bring it in, you hear it, you see it, you taste it, but then it's got to go out from you. People have to know that you have a faith. You have to be productive. That's how we saw that the soil was good. There was 30, 60, 100-fold production. I remember sitting with my father-in-law one night, and I wrote it down, and I can't find in the different moves that we've had, I can't find that little piece of paper when he explained how much weight is a bushel, how many seeds are in a bushel, and I wrote it down to try to see how many seeds that you plant for the harvest that you get. And I'm not going to try to impress anybody with my knowledge in that way. But we plant a little bit, and we get a tremendous harvest when we plant agriculturally. But how do we plant spiritually? What production are we supposed to see? We're to pass it on to the next generation. We're supposed to make a difference with the people around us. Our lives are to make an impact. Our lives are to be noticed. People want to see that the faith has made a difference in our life. And then the last sense that we have is the sense of touch. 1 John said it this way, that which was from the beginning, which we have heard, which we have seen with our own eyes, which we have looked at, our hands have touched. You know, I've been out in the dirt a lot the last few days, kind of getting a lot of water drained off of my backyard. and my hands get dirty. And when I get out into the garden, I get my hands into the dirt. I plant the seeds, I till it up, and I like to get down there. I get dirt underneath my fingernails. Our hands have to touch the soil, the seeds, the harvest. We have to get our hands in the dirt. People need seed planted in their lives right now. And there's different ways to plant. Some people drill beans. Some plow a little and then they plant. Different ways to have people be touched by Jesus. But we are to touch Jesus with the seeds of the gospel. I know when we get ready to buy a car, I do a lot of research. I check for any issues for that model. I check the reviews. I check how much mileage is on it. But until I actually get in and test drive it, I don't know exactly what I'm getting. People need to see us and test drive us to make sure our Christianity is a real thing. So if seed is going to be productive, you've got to hear it. You've got to see it. You've got to taste it. You've got to smell it, making a difference, and then you've got to touch it. And that's how we make a difference. That's how we get to be productive soil. My father-in-law would send soil from different spots in his field to be tested, see if it needed more phosphorus, potash, or nitrogen. I've talked with different farmers in this area, and they do the same thing to make sure that their soil is the most productive soil that it can be. Does the soil of your heart need to be tested? What nutrient is it missing to make it the most productive? Is your heart or your soil overrun with some rocks and boulders in your life that need to be removed so that soil can get deeper and stronger? Are there thorns and weeds that need to be pulled out of it? Or hopefully not. Is it so hard that God's word doesn't even penetrate and doesn't even make a difference in your life? I got into my garden about a month ago when it was dry for a couple days. And I tilled up some brand new garden, some new yard. For me, the less yard I have to mow, the better. So I till up as much of my yard to make garden as possible. And to get that ready, I had to till over it again and again and again. And I'll have to get out there again. I'm hoping it dries up in the next couple days so I can get out again and break it up. But it took hard time, a lot of time, to get that soil ready to be planted here in about a month. A lot of times for that hard soil, it takes something with force to break hard ground. God tries to break up our hard hearts in various ways. Maybe it's shattering our pride. Maybe our focus on worldly things. Maybe it's our apathy that needs to be broken. All I can tell you, it's going to be painful. I've seen death and disease and getting older that starts to break up the hardness of a person's heart. The warning that Jesus gives is that if you allow your heart to stay hard long enough, there's the potential the gospel message is going to disappear. Take advantage of God's message and the offer of Jesus. But maybe you've had a soft and shallow faith that is basically good for a little while, but there isn't any depth to it. You've not removed the rocks, the boulders in your heart that when tough times come, and they will come, and we all know that they will come, your faith weakens. You have a tendency to blame God for everything bad that happens, and you've not invested in His word or His prayer or fellowship. You only put God there next to the 911 on your phone. Only call Him in times of emergency. Other than that, you really don't spend time with God. That's the kind of faith that won't stand up under the strength and the heat of the sun. But maybe you've had a strong faith, a deep faith from your parents and grandparents, were leaders in your church, taught Sunday school, loved church and loved Jesus, but little by little, things of the world started growing in your garden and choking out your faith in Jesus. Last year when we moved here, we transplanted, like I said, some of those bulbs, and I took care of those things earlier this week, and I'll do a little bit more this week. But see, not everyone will get the message of the gospel. Not all seeds will be productive. One thief responded, one didn't. A few soldiers that crucified Jesus got it, most didn't. As we said earlier, 11 disciples got it, one didn't. But finally, that good soil. Harvey Derendinger and his wife Ann always had the best garden in Jamestown. Harvey passed away a few years ago, but Ann still plants a garden today. One time I asked Harvey the secret to his success. He said, lime and fertilizer, a certain fertilizer. He says, you can't put enough lime on your garden. He took me down to the local feed store and pointed out exactly what I needed. I bought it. I still buy those items now. But you know, I could have ignored him and still done my own thing, but I listened. That's what Jesus is telling us today. Listen. He who has ears, let him hear. Are you listening? Are you praying? Are you studying God's word? Are you fellowshipping? Are you involved in service? Are you putting those ingredients in the soil of your heart? He's looking for a return on his crop. If you read the next parable after this one, you see what happens to the weeds if you let them grow up and choke out the harvest. Take this unique time that we have to address the soil of your heart. Many things have been eliminated from our schedules because of this virus. Some of those things were not beneficial or crucial to our spiritual health. Diagnose those items and pull those weeds, those thorns, dig up those rocks, and make your soil that fertile that produces a spiritual crop that will make an eternal difference for you and those around you.